Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be reading 18 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the context, of course, is that of the rapture, but there's some important verses before the rapture verses. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because if the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject, rapture coming. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to share your word about this very important subject. We know that those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're looking forward, Lord, to that time when you will rapture the church and take us home to be with you. But some listening today, Lord, do not know Jesus, and maybe they haven't thought about this, but they need to understand that the day is coming when all believers will disappear and they will be left behind. I pray that you would help them to consider the gravity, Lord, of this very thought, and they would understand that it's so important to trust Jesus as their Savior. But we who know you as our Savior, Lord, we know that we need to think much about what's coming. We need to be living in a way that pleases you. And I pray you teach us that today. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this message. Use it today, we pray. Give enablement to bring the message, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last few weeks, many people have been caused to think about eternity. The COVID-19 pandemic has made people more aware of the frailty of life and the possibility of death. As I go out to get groceries, office supplies, household repair items, and gasoline, I've seen more and more people wearing masks. This has become commonplace because precautions are being taken to keep from being infected by the coronavirus. I understand that completely, as I also have started wearing a mask when I am in stores. This unusual time has caused many to question what might be going on. Is this a sign of the approaching end of the world? Is this a sign of judgment from God? Is this setting us up for a one-world government? Is there a sinister plot behind all of this whereby some masterminds will cause us to give up our freedoms and in the end control us? Well, many ideas abound as to what is going on. But I am not worried about any of that. I serve the Lord who is in control. And no masterminds will ever outsmart our God or thwart His plan. So let's make clear some things as we begin this morning. Some things based on the Scripture. First of all, I want you to understand this. The end of the world is not near. That's right. The end of the world is not near. Now, the Bible tells us when the end of the world will come. This world, this earth as we know it. Revelation 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." The Bible tells us that the earth is going to end at this time when Jesus sets up His great white throne. We're also told about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. And the Lord says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also shall, and the works therein shall be burned up." And so the Lord tells us the day is going to come when the end of the world will happen. But when will it happen? Well, that passage we read in Revelation tells us about the great white throne, and that's when it's going to take place. Well, when we read the Bible in the book of Revelation, we find that the great white throne takes place after some events. First of all, there's a coming 7-year tribulation period, which is going to begin after the Lord raptures His church. Then following that 7-year tribulation period, Jesus is going to come back to this earth, set up His kingdom. He's going to rule and reign as king for 1,000 years on this earth. And then after that, He's going to destroy the heavens and the earth when He sets up His great white throne judgment. So we can say, based on the Scripture, that the end of the world is not near. It's at least 1,007 years away from us. Then there's another thing we need to mention this morning. And that is, this is not a biblical sign of a coming event. Yes, the pandemic is not a biblical sign. Many times you hear people talk that way. Oh, this is just a sign of the times, and this is what the Bible said was going to happen. I don't believe that's exactly right. Many times Matthew 24 is referred to. Let me read you some of that. "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." Now, He talks about things that are going to happen and signs of the coming of the Lord. But we need to understand, these are signs that take place during the tribulation period. And the coming of the Lord that's referred to is the time when He comes back at the end of the tribulation to set up His kingdom. So, these are not signs. Rumors of wars are not signs of something. That's going to happen during the tribulation period. Now, we know that during the tribulation period, certain things will be. First of all, Israel will be in the land. Well, Israel is already in the land. We also know that there will be a tribulation temple. There is no temple right now, but there's thoughts about it. There's some plans behind the scenes for it. And it will happen, but it will be during the tribulation period. We also read that in the tribulation period, there'll be the mark of the beast. Now, we know today that that's very possible. We didn't understand it before, but we understand it now because there are people having chips implanted in them, and it's very possible, or it's actually been demonstrated, that you can pay for something by scanning your hand. So all that technology is here, but that's preparation for what's coming. The Lord is setting the stage for what is coming. And in that way, we know that tribulation period is coming. But those signs that we so many times hear about, rumors of war, pestilence, all that, those are signs of the second coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. And those will take place during the tribulation. Now, what about a sinister plot? Yes, the devil is always involved in sinister plots. And if a sinister plot produces a one-world government, God allowed it, and we will be gone before the Antichrist is revealed. So, yes, there's a lot of talk about these plots and all that's happening behind the scenes. I understand that. Could very well be going on. And it'll be just setting the stage because one day the Antichrist will be revealed, but we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior will be gone at the rapture. We'll not be here when that takes place. So, Christian, we should not fear. The rapture is the next event, and we just need to be looking up, expecting our Lord to return. Now, I want us to look at three things this morning in relation to the rapture. The first one is this, rapture preparations. Yes, we should make preparations for the rapture. First of all, if you want to be in the rapture, you must be saved. If you want to be one of those that go to be with the Lord at the rapture, you must be a saved individual. You might say, well, how do I make preparation for that? Well, it's very simple. You need to believe the gospel. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The gospel says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, Jesus came to pay for that sin, which you could not pay for. And on the cross of Calvary, He died for your sins. He paid the price for your sins. He shed His blood for you. He did that on the cross. We looked at that a few weeks ago in the message, "It is finished." And then the Bible says He rose from the grave. And the resurrection was proof that it was all paid for. And so the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says to us, the price has been paid, redemption has been paid for, salvation is available, and it's yours if you will accept, if you'll believe in Jesus Christ, come to Him in repentance, trust Him as your personal Savior, you can be saved. So, what about preparations for the rapture? Do you want to go? Well, you need to believe the gospel, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I hope that you will do that. Also, another preparation is this. Once you've been saved, you need to start preparing for the meeting. You see, sometimes we read that passage and we just gloss over it. But it says, we will meet the Lord in the air. Now think about it. Meet the Lord in the air. That means we will see Jesus. If that were to take place today, then you will see Jesus. Now, does that matter to you? Does that affect the way you live? Well, it should. You're going to see the one that died for you. You're going to see the one that loved you so much that He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for you. He took all that pain for you so that you would not have to go to hell. You're going to see that one who died for you. Also, the one who gave you everything good that you've ever had is Jesus. Every good gift comes from above. So the one who gave you every good thing is the one you're going to see. You're going to see the Lord Jesus, the one who prepared a place for you. When you get to heaven, you'll find out there's a place prepared for you by the Lord. Because the Lord said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So when He comes back and we see Him, then we're going to see the one who's prepared a place for us in heaven. We're going to see the one who is the only reason we'll ever get to heaven. You won't get to heaven because you were good. You won't get to heaven because you were religious. You'll get to heaven because of Jesus and only because of Jesus and what He did for you. And think about it, you're going to see Jesus. And so you need to think about that when you talk about preparation for the rapture. You're going to see the one that you owe everything to. Yet many Christians live their lives with hardly any thought that they might see Jesus today. You're living in sin. You're doing things you know that are wrong. You're doing things you know that displease God. And you seem to give no thought that today you might see Jesus who died for those sins, who paid the price for you. Everything that you have, you owe to Him. The place in heaven that you will enjoy because you trust Jesus, you owe to Him. And you're going to see Him. And you would probably be ashamed if you've not been living for the Lord. Now, how do you prepare? Well, How do you prepare to see the Lord? Well, it's interesting that this passage we read, so the familiar part is beginning in verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. It's the rapture passage. But have you paid much attention to the verses that come before that? The Lord is talking about preparation for that time that we will see Jesus. Well, what is that preparation? How are we prepared? How are we to have our lives ordered so that we'll not be ashamed when we see Him? Well, we go back to chapter 3 and we read in verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." At the coming of our Lord, we should be living a life of holiness. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "How ye ought to walk and to please God." You see, before we ever see Him at the rapture, we need to make sure that we've been pleasing our Lord. We're truly saved. We have trusted Him as our Savior, but are you pleasing Him? The Lord says we should walk so as to please Him. Now, you might justify what you're doing. You might justify the way you're living. And you might think that I should approve of it or somebody else should approve of it. But I ask you, does God approve of it? Are you pleasing the Lord by what you do? Look at verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you just should abstain from fornication." Oh, how prevalent that is today. Fornication. People act as if it's hardly anything. They act as if it's justified, that it's okay, but it's not okay. It's as sinful as it ever was, and it displeases God. And God says you should abstain from fornication. And your sanctification, what sanctification mean? You've been set apart unto God for His use, for His glory. Fornication should not have a part in that. Look at verse 4. "Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor." What's your vessel? Your vessel is your body, I believe. And you are to use your body in sanctification, set apart unto the Lord in an honorable way. Does your manner of living as a Christian honor God? You're going to see Him someday. Does it honor the Lord? Then he says in verse 5, "Not in lust. And every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification." And verse 5, "Not in lust of concupiscence." That means evil things, immorality, not in lust. And then he says in verse 6, "Do not defraud your brother." Now, defraud means to steal from somebody, to take from somebody. In deception, you deceive them and you take from them. And the whole context here is immorality. And you defraud somebody else when you commit immorality. Young man thinks, "Well, I have immorality with this young lady. How am I defrauding?" Well, you defraud her. You rob her of her virginity. You defraud her dad, who would not want that to happen to his daughter. You defraud her future husband, who would really like to marry a woman who hasn't known another man. And you defraud her. The Lord says you shouldn't do this. Why? The Lord is the avenger of such. You see how, if we think about the rapture, we should think about how we live. Preparation for the rapture. Look at verse 7. He says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Holiness. We should live holy lives, set apart unto God, clean lives, no fornication, no immorality. And then he reminds us in verse 8 that we've been given the Holy Spirit, who also hath given us His Holy Spirit. You notice it's the Holy Spirit. Holiness and the Holy Spirit. You are indwelt by God. Is God pleased with the way you're living? Is God pleased with what you're doing? Someday you're going to see Him. Someday you're going to see Jesus. And the Lord says you should not be given unto uncleanness, but in holiness, because you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And then he says in verse 9, also another preparation for seeing the Lord. And that is, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. As the approaching of the Lord comes, you should increase more and more loving the brethren. Some of you listening today claim to be Christians. You know Jesus as your Savior, but you don't go to church. You disobey God because He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And yet you do that. You also don't love the brethren as you should, or you'd want to be with the brethren as they worship the Lord and serve the Lord together. And the Lord says we should love the brethren. We should love one another. And so, as we think about going to see the Lord someday, and in the air, we're going to be caught up together with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And all those that are going to be with us at that time are those who know Jesus. Do you love those people? Or have you been separated from them? Have you not been going to church? Have you not been associating with other Christians? Have you fallen in love with the world? The Lord says, Jesus is coming. You should be centered on loving one another. And then there's another thing. Look at verse 11. He says, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. The Lord wants people to be industrious as Christians, not lazy people, ambitious people, working to accomplish things for the Lord Jesus, working to provide, working to provide the necessities for your family and all of that. The Lord wants us to be ambitious people. And I've often said that an employer, his best employees should be Christians. Why? Because they're not only serving their earthly employer, but they're also serving their master in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says, you're going to see Jesus. And since you're going to see Jesus, be ambitious in your work. Don't be lazy. And then in verse 12, he says one other thing, that you may walk honestly, that means fittingly, or comingly, becoming toward them that are without. In other words, when you're among unbelievers, do you act like a believer? Can they tell you that you're a child of God? Can they tell that you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you walking in a way that's fitting to be a child of God? Now, why is all that important? All that's important because beginning verse 13, he says, you're going to see Jesus someday. You're going to see Him someday. It could be very soon. And so you should be given to holiness, to love, industriousness, working with your own hands, busy for the Lord, and a good testimony with unbelievers. You see, we could see Jesus just any day, and it could be today. Let's not be ashamed when we see Him. Now, that seemed to be something that was on the mind of the Apostle Paul. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He didn't want to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Working for the Lord and not ashamed of your service, because you're going to see Jesus someday. 1 John 2, verse 28, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. See, this all goes back to the context of the rapture. And that context begins in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, that you might please God. Are you pleasing the Lord? You should be. We should be. I should be. Because someday, very soon, we're going to see Him. Now, so that's rapture preparation. Now, let's talk about rapture events. The rapture events. What are the events of the rapture? Well, Paul begins in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would have you not ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. I don't want you to misunderstand, he says. Some people have died. But I want you to understand, they haven't missed out. Paul expected the Lord to come any time in his life. And so he expected that. You can see how he talked, that he expected the Lord to come. That's one reason we believe the return of Jesus at the rapture is imminent. It could happen at any time. And he goes on to say, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say and do by the word of the Lord, will we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now let's put those events in chronological order, how they're going to happen. First of all, Jesus will return from heaven. We found out that last week that he ascended up into heaven. Well, he's going to return from heaven. The Bible says in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's up there and he's going to come down from heaven and he's going to meet us in the air. So he descends from heaven. That's what Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 3. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Also, the next thing is Jesus will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Sometimes we forget that. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back alone. He's coming back with saints who are in heaven. Now, that includes people that you're thinking about right now, probably believers who've gone on to be with the Lord. I think about my mom and my dad and other relatives, and I think about that, and I think about church members that I've been their pastor years ago, and they've gone on to be with the Lord, and some even recently. And those are in heaven. So they've got to heaven before I did. But they don't have their glorified body yet. My dad passed away in 1979. He still doesn't have his glorified body. He's going to get that when the Lord raptures his church. And so, but when the Lord comes back, he descends from heaven, and when he comes back, he's going to have somebody with him. And verse 14 says, the God will bring with him. So those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Those who've died before and gone on to be with the Lord, they're with him, their soul and spirit's with the Lord. He's going to bring them with him. And then when he comes, there'll be three loud noises. The Bible speaks of those. First of all, a shout. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, I believe that shout is Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, at that shout, when the Lord comes back, descends from heaven, brings those with him that are in heaven with him, he's going to bring them with him and he's going to give a shout. And that'll be the shout of the Lord. And then that's going to be accompanied by the voice of the archangel. Now, I don't know what the archangel is going to say. Now, that's probably Gabriel. He's the archangel. And so I don't know what Gabriel is going to say. But it says the voice of the archangel. And then it says the trump of God. Now, that's all we know. We can speculate other things, but we know this. It's going to be a shout, probably the voice of Jesus. It's going to be the voice of the archangel, probably Gabriel. And it's going to be a trump. The trump of God is going to blow. Now, that's going to be a wonderful sound. But those three sounds, those three noises are going to be heard. And then the next thing is, Jesus will raise the dead in Christ from the grave. You see, they've come back with him, but then he will raise them from the dead. The Bible says in verse 16, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So their bodies are in the grave. Their soul and spirit comes with Jesus. And he's going to resurrect their body from the grave and make it a brand new body, make it a glorified body. And the Bible describes it in 1 Corinthians 15. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Verse 52. Verse 54 says that will mean death is swallowed up in victory. And so the person died. They were absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're in heaven. They come back with Jesus. And then God cancels out the last effect of their death, and that is the body laying in the grave. And he raises that body, changes that body. The corruptible is going to put on incorruptible. They're going to have a glorified body. And then the next event of the rapture. Jesus will rapture or catch up the living believers with those who resurrected, and he'll change their bodies. They will have a glorified body like Jesus. verse 17 says, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." You notice Paul said "we." I think he expected to be alive when Jesus came back. And so he says, "We which are alive." So if Jesus would come today, we're alive. And that means us. So we won't ever have to die physically. We will be caught up together with Him, the Lord, in air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what happens? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 says it like this. "We shall not all sleep," that means die, "but we shall all be changed." So those who are resurrected from the grave are changed, and we who are alive and caught up, we're going to be changed. "The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So we're going to be changed as well, and we will have a glorified body. And then the Lord says we'll meet the Lord in the air. So Jesus will meet us in the air, or maybe better said, we will meet Jesus in the air. And so He's up there in the air, and He calls us up, and we meet Him there in the air. And it says, I like the way it's stated, to meet the Lord in the air. Sometimes we have the idea that, but when we're raptured, the first one we want to see is our husband that passed away, or our wife that passed away, or grandma that passed away. No, my friend, that's not the first one you want to see. The first one you want to see is the one who made it possible for you to be involved in this, and that is Jesus. We'll meet the Lord in the air. In fact, I believe we won't even be looking for those others. Not yet. We'll meet the Lord in the air. He is the center of attraction, and we'll want to meet the Lord, and what a wonderful time it'll be. And then he says this, we will begin our eternal presence with the Lord. And he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll ever be with the Lord. When that takes place, there'll never be a time from then on into eternity that you'll ever be away from the Lord. You'll be with Him. Where He is, there you will be. In fact, Jesus said it that way in John chapter 14. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means Jesus will take us to heaven. We'll be with Him up there for 7 years during the tribulation period. Then He'll come back with us. And He'll rule and reign with Him on this earth for 1,000 years. And then He'll destroy this earth and that present heaven and make a brand new earth and a brand new heaven, and we'll be with Him there. And we'll always be with the Lord from that time forth. So at that day, the rapture, we will begin our eternal presence with the Lord. So we looked at rapture preparation. We've also looked at rapture events. Now let's talk in closing about rapture results. What are rapture results? Now I'm not talking about changing our bodies. We've already seen that. But what are rapture results? Well, first thing is this. The unsaved will be left behind. That's a sad thing. But the day is coming, my friend, when Jesus is going to rapture the church. And He's going to take us home to be with Him. And when that happens, believers all around this world will be gone. Now, we've got an idea lately about around the world because we've seen the coronavirus go around the world and affected people all around the world. And we hear the counts in various countries, how many people died. Well, on that day, they'll begin getting accounts of how many people disappeared. And there'll be a lot more people than die of coronavirus. And there'll be people who disappear from this earth. People will be driving their car and they're gone and the car wrecks. Pilots will be flying an airplane. They're gone and the plane crashes. People will be out on the work site operating big equipment and they're gone. And terrible things happen. And so all kinds of things take place. Not just in the United States, but all around the world. Can you imagine how terrible that must be? The unsaved will be left behind, though. All those who don't know Jesus will be left. Now, you might say, well, if that happens, then I'll know it's true and I'll trust Jesus then. No, you probably won't, my friend. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And the Greek actually says the lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You hear me today, and you're thinking about this, I want to remind you, you might be living it up and saying, oh, I know about Christianity, I've heard that message before, but I really don't take it seriously, and I rejected the Lord Jesus. But if that happens, I'll know it's true, and I'll trust Him. No, you won't. The Bible says if you heard the Word, and you had no love for the truth, you didn't want to be saved, and you had pleasure in unrighteousness, the Lord said He will send you delusion so that you will believe the lie, and I believe that's the lie of the Antichrist, and you will not be saved. In fact, the Lord will say, I'm not going to speak to your heart. I'm not going to draw you to myself. You will not be saved. And so, when the rapture takes place, one of the results is, unbeliever is going to be left. And if you've heard the gospel, rejected it, you'll probably never be saved. Another result is this. The world will be shocked and confused. And because they don't have an answer what's happened, they'll easily fall prey to the person who does have an answer, and that is the Antichrist. The Bible says people will believe the lie. And I believe that will be the lie of the Antichrist. You see, he'll come on the scene after the rapture of the church and all this turmoil across the world. And they'll be looking for a leader that can help them, somebody of all the world that can follow. And this person will deceive them. The Bible says it begins by him deceiving Israel. And he'll make a pact with them. And he'll deceive them. He'll also deceive people, because he'll start off with peace. There won't be war. He'll have peace, and he'll talk about peace. He'll actually start with a confederacy with world religion, and world religion that time, I'm not sure. I'd have an idea who might be, but it doesn't matter. The world religion, whatever it'll be, will link up to the Antichrist, and he will link up to them, and he will use them and deceive them. And all the world becomes deceived. And then he'll institute that mark of the beast, you remember? So that everybody who wants to buy and sell has to have that mark. And most of the people will follow him. Some won't, but most of them will. And then the Bible says that he'll set up himself as God. He'll finally get rid of the religious body. And he'll set up himself as God. Now, how can that possibly take place? But when the rapture takes place, it'll set the stage. People will be looking for an answer. So one of the results of the rapture is it will prepare the world to follow this false leader. And God will institute His judgments during that tribulation period. But then another thing will happen. And that is another result of the rapture. And that is right after the rapture, believers will be taken to the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, yes, we're going to heaven. But when we get to heaven, we're going to face a judgment seat. Not unbelievers, but believers. Just believers will be there, and we'll give an account of how we've served the Lord. Romans 14, verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. At that day, it will matter to every Christian whether we have prepared for the rapture. By living so as to please God, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, to please the Lord. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll go to heaven at the rapture. But I ask you, when you face Him at the judgment seat, will you hear Him say, well done? Will He give you rewards for your service? It will all depend on how you lived before the rapture and how you served Jesus Christ. See, the thing we're facing today is this virus. And it might get worse. It seems like it's leveled off, but it could get worse. And you might lose your job. You might lose your wealth. You might lose your health. You might even lose your life. But if you live for Jesus, I guarantee you, you will not lose your reward, because you stayed true to the Lord, you trusted Him, you pleased Him, and someday He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's be pleasing our Lord, because remember, rapture is coming. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for reminding us of this important event. And I pray that those who are not ready for the rapture, they've never received Jesus, that today they might come to You in repentance and faith and put their trust in Jesus Christ who died for them and begin to live for Him as long as they have on this earth. For us who know You, help us to be faithful, Lord. And may we someday hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Bless these words to each heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.